Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Nye. You know, we pride ourselves, and every day there's a lot of stuff to talk about. But boy, we had an eclipse yesterday, and we've gone back in time. Everything on my computer since, 5 o'clock this morning is 4, 5, 6 days old.
Yes.
Did we open up a time portal?
I don't know. You know, there isn't, seriously, there is not an article or a story in today's news about the CERN Hadron Collider. Which was turned the Hadron Collider, which...
Is there such a thing?
It is, yes. It's in,
somebody
it's,
invented that?
It's near Geneva, Switzerland. And what it is, it smashes molecules together. This is somebody, by the way, telling you this, who was not the best science student in high school. But
who would have thought they had something like that today in 1974?
No, Bill, it's 2024.
What? Wait.
You mean we're going backwards?
Way backwards.
Like my new car or my 72 Cutlass? Yes.
What we're going to do right now is go way back.
I would like to have my 72 Cutlass back, actually.
Worth some money.
I loved my 72 Cutlass. I don't know why I got rid of it. It was a great car. And I bought it brand new. I know, you're saying 72 Cutlass, brand new. Yeah, I was 17. Right. Anyway, so we haven't heard a thing about the CERN Collider. And I'm thinking to myself, that was like a huge story. You would think somebody would pay some interest in what's happening in Geneva. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Have you seen anything?
No, I haven't. I mean, I'm, like I said, all the news I see is it's 4 or 5 days old, and then I see these stupid ads, urologists, 80% of men with ED don't know about this. I don't want to know about that.
Do you know what was truly, I have to admit, I went out yesterday afternoon, and I sat in my driveway like an old guy, I look at it and look at the sky, and it got dark. Where I live, we got like 86%, and that was it. But it was enough to make this creepy-looking greenish hue in the sky. It wasn't darkness like you would a normal evening. It didn't look 100% normal, if you know what I mean.
It didn't look real,
but it was, I guess. And yeah. But I'm watching television. Oh, honest to God, the networks, Fox, for example, they had cameras from Mexico up to Canada and all these different major markets, and they're following this eclipse. It is the biggest waste of time. Folks, seriously, I summed it up yesterday when I was writing a description for the show. I said, then we talked about the eclipse. It'll get dark, and then it will get light again, and that will be it. And that was it.
You know what amazed me? Well, a couple of things amazed me about the eclipse. I mean, here, I say, I've got actually the gear for, looking at the sun if I want to do it with the filters for the telescope or the camera and stuff. So I'm going to dig this gear out. I said, what the heck,
Guy has more toys, folks, than you can imagine.
I do. I'm a bachelor, so, what do you do with your money?
That's true.
Hey, dearie, would you like to go out to dinner? Oh, wait, there is no deer here. Well, let me see what I can buy with this money, Another toy for old Bill Boy here.
I like it.
So that's how that works. My discretionary fun money goes, to stupid things.
Yes.
But I have all those toys. So I'm all set up. It's a sunny morning. I'm going, this is going to be a great day. And then, about a half hour, about 2:30, it started getting cloudy, real cloudy.
Yeah.
And so all I had were what looked like we were going to get a tornado or something. I was going, oh, man. And we got that greenish hue, too.
That was what it looked like, Bill. You hit it right on the head. You've seen that kind of greenish sky around tornadoes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've been through them before. So, yeah. And hurricanes. So. But I looked at that, and I said, well, I'll film this sky and just talk about it. And it was kind of weird and interesting, and the dogs and everything were going nuts, and even the kids running around playing. But, there was no darkness. Now, 6 miles away, my son is working. He works at a convenience store. He's 21, so he's got to do something. So he's working there, and I said, how'd it go there? He goes, oh, yeah, it was nice and sunny. I said, really? It wasn't here? Well, it was sunny over there. I'm going 6 miles down the road. Amazing.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, it didn't get dark. Oh, no, it got totally dark. It got pitch black. And I'm sitting there going, So that amazed me in a short distance that there was a big drastic of an effect like that. The other thing that's always amazed me, and I, you know, some little science whiz is going to call or a writer call or something like that about this, but because I get it, you know, the angle and everything and the rotation. But, you know, I can sit out there and look at the night sky. Oh, it's we got a quarter moon tonight, and I'll see it rising from one direction and cross over the night sky, which seems pretty quick, but it takes the course of the evening to get from one end to the other, right?
Yeah.
Here, this darn thing started down in Nevada.
Mexico. Yes.
And it took a total of 10 minutes to come all the way across, up and over. And it was
gone. It was moving pretty good. I have to tell you, though, I don't think they really knew where the path was because one map I saw said
it was off.
It was said total eclipse over Cleveland, okay? And maybe some of our listeners in Cleveland can tell me if they had a total eclipse because then I see another thing says the total eclipse will be to the east of Cleveland. It'll go be over Erie. And now Erie, by the way, is not terribly out of alignment with Pittsburgh, but that they were saying Pittsburgh was like 86%. So I don't think they really had a handle on where the thing was going.
Well, you weren't quite 80% when it first started. I was in a zone where we were a little bit over 80%, but I would say it was less than 80. But, you know, maybe, you know, that you would think with all the science we should know something about how things rotate unless there's something seriously wrong or we've done something, I'm trying not to sneeze here, that makes things seriously wrong. Why couldn't we figure out where that trajectory would be?
Well, while you're, tell you what, I'm going to let you sneeze. You can turn your mic off and you can sneeze to your heart's content. And
well, I got it straight now. You know, the finger on the nose thing. You know, I wasn't flipping myself off. Maybe I was. I don't know.
It's one of those days, folks. That's what's happened. We had this eclipse, and the next show we do is loosey-goosey. But
well, you know, what happens is, you know, that pull, the tug of the moon and the sun and the stars in your eyes, it's screwed up the fluids in my brain.
Yeah, well, that's... You're not alone.
They should have locked me down.
But if you saw, I saw a video this morning at the Dallas Zoo, and they said, and the animals went nuts. And I thought, as if the animals were responding to the eclipse. I watched the video, and it had sound on it. And what happened was there were people in the zoo who were looking at the moon. So as soon as it started to lose light, as soon as it started to, you know, show, they all started to scream. And when they started to scream, then the animals started to run. The guy taking the video of the animals said, look at the video. The animals are responding to the eclipse. No, the animals were responding to 400 people who were standing in the zoo screaming at the sky. That's what the animals were responding to.
Yeah, they're going, well, these crazy idiots out here. You know, though. I don't know, but when they were at the zoo, I do understand the animals were inquiring. They all asked about you. The elephants asked. The tigers asked.
Oh, my.
You know, yeah, even the donkeys inquired about you.
Really?
So, yeah, they all asked for you.
Well, you know, it's maybe that eclipse did have an effect on you, Bill. More than you know. But anyway, I thought it was a huge distraction. If you wanted to do something in our country yesterday and to slip it by without anybody paying attention whatsoever, that was the day because the whole country was staring at the moon.
Well, it was a short-lived thing, but, you know, we stretched out maybe a little longer than we should. There was the build-up to the event, and then the afterglow of the event. Oh, that was interesting. You know, but all that time, the news was focused on it. Don't cut away from the eclipse.
That's right.
We're at war, but don't cut away. We got an eclipse going on. Who knows what happened? Maybe the CERN collider did something that we don't know, and I don't know. Maybe all those helicopters and those tanks that, you know, went over Philly Way or maybe went down to Dover. I don't know. Maybe something was deployed or something is being set up to stage, and they thought, well, you know what? We'll move them beforehand. People will see it, and we'll say it's a normal drill. But then when we have everything, who
Bill,
the
you
heck
know, you know
knows?
What's interesting? People actually think that the people who were moving the helicopters, once they got caught, right, would tell them what they were doing. No. I mean, seriously, the response to the helicopters being moved was, it's just a normal military exercise. We're moving some equipment from point A to point B. Like, they're going to say that they're doing something nefarious, right? They're not going to do that. You know, but the media is satisfied with that pacification. Oh, it's just a normal, it's a normal military maneuver. Don't worry about it. Life is good. Go on with your lives. Bill talked to somebody who saw a massive convoy of tanks being carried across the state of Pennsylvania. I live in western PA. It is not normal to see a massive convoy of tanks going from the western side of the state to the eastern side of the state. I'm just saying, you know. And we have helicopters. They didn't just ship 2, 3, 5, 6 helicopters. They shipped, they said, more than 70 helicopters from New York State down to the Philadelphia area. And God knows where from there.
I would think rule number one, and this is probably not the only place it happened. If you saw something like that happen, right, you ought to speak up. Be interesting to find out where and when, because you don't deploy hardware somewhere unless you need it there for whatever reason. Could be something nefarious. It could be something that they know that they can't let us know about. You know, I'm open to, you know, whatever it is. But the fact that we saw it, they should be somewhat more forthcoming about things and what they are.
You know, we were talking yesterday, Bill and I, off the air, that we're going to start promoting our website on a regular basis, because that has all the information on how to contact us. You know, we're always talking about our phone number and our email addresses. When in reality, all you need, really, if you're a fan of the show and you want to reach us, you go to itsanotherday.com or jimandbill.com. Those two websites are ours, itsanotherday.com or jimandbill.com, and it has everything there. Am I correct, Bill?
Yeah, you're correct. I think we even have CRN America, which is just, all that is a stream of the show. So we take the last two shows every day and update it. We take the oldest one out,
right,
and it's the two latest shows, which, if you missed anything, it's an easy way to listen because they just loop and repeat. You can put it on in the background.
Yeah.
And that's it. It just rolls and it's nice. And
yep. If you, you know, if you're mowing the lawn, you want to hear, you know, a couple hours of conversation, just do that. Put CRN America on and let it roll, you know.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's just us. We at one time thought, well, we'll put other podcasts on there. We really haven't reached out for that, but you know, if somebody wanted to that has a podcast, we go, yeah, they sound like us.
We'd be very selective about who we'd put on there, because we don't want to. We want shows with a common theme. You know, I mean,
we don't want Democrats.
We don't want to lose our audience. You know,
No. You got to be like-minded.
President Trump yesterday, he issued a video statement about his position on abortion. And, you know, it had a lot of the left was saying, see, well, he's really not pro-life. Understand that President Trump is the guy, when he was president, who put in all these Supreme Court justices who voted to get rid of Roe versus Wade. So actions speak louder than words. And all he said in his statement was that I'm leaving it up to the states. It's not a decision that should be in the hands of the federal government. I agree, by the way.
I've always said that.
Yeah. But here's what I'm going to play for you, the statement. This is President Trump yesterday.
The Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that? Today, I'm pleased that the Alabama legislature has acted very quickly and passed legislation that preserves the availability of IVF in Alabama. They really did a great and fast job. The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies, and that's what we are. IVF is an important part of that, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life. Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently and very sadly a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
President Trump's statement yesterday, you know, it's amazing. The left thinks that he should either be 100% pro-life or 100% pro-choice. And they think that that's the statement he should have made, 100%. And what he did was, in my opinion, it neutralized the argument. It said, hey, it's in the hands of the state. But he pointed out all of the reasons why life is important. You know where the man feels, where he stands. He talks about IVF, in vitro fertilization, being such an important and cherished thing, being able to help families become families, you know? I think he nailed it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he did too, you know? And when you look at leaders, the left wants him to define exactly. You're either pro-abortion or you're not pro-abortion. One or the other, what is it? Only a dictator would take that role. Joe Biden's taking the role.
Yeah.
He's pro-abortion all the way. Let's just yank those kids right out of there.
Sure.
Trump is saying, no, that's not a decision for a president or the White House. That is a state issue, and which is the way that we were set up.
Yeah,
that's right. And if you don't like your politics of the state, move to California.
Well, Bill,
and
you know,
if you don't like them in California, vote it out.
The left believes in a very strong centralized federal government that controls everything. And the way the country was set up, like you just said, was that we were 48 contiguous, and then we have the two other states that had their own governments, essentially. That we were all like little mini countries with a common unifying force in Washington. That's how it was set up. It was set up to be states' rights were primary and federal rights were supportive. And that's not the way the left like it. The left like the big hammer in Washington. What we say goes and everything else is secondary. You know, and Trump is saying, hey, listen, this is an issue for the states. If you don't like it, deal with the people in the state you live in and get it to change there. He said there are going to be some states that are going to be very conservative, some states that will be less conservative. And people have the right to move from one state to the other, by the way, and they're doing that. I was listening to Ron DeSantis said, we have grown 11 million Republican votes in the state of Florida in the past couple of years, and it's because people are moving in droves to the state. He said, we're getting some Democrats changing to Republicans because of what's happening in the Democratic Party. Right. So that's true. He said, but a lot of Republicans from other states have moved there. You know,
Massachusetts has got a big, fallout going on there. Some of them are moving over to New Hampshire, but a lot of them from Maine and Massachusetts are moving to red states, Texas, Florida. They're getting the hell out of all the
craziness.
I mean, it is a beautiful state. There's a lot of great things there. And some people put up with, the locals tell you, this has always been kind of a liberal lefty place and don't like that, but I love the area. Well, you know what? You can love something so much, but, you know, if the people that have come in there and you put in control have taken over, get out. Let them sink in their sewage. Then you can go back and clean it up.
It's sad, right now, but what you're saying is true. I grew up in Massachusetts, and it has been a one-party state essentially for decades. You know, going back to the turn of the 20th century, has there been corruption in the state of Massachusetts? Absolutely. Common knowledge. Heck, the city of Boston in the 1930s had a mayor who was elected the mayor, I think, while he was in prison. You know, he was a beloved mayor. As a matter of fact, he was one of these guys. His name was James Michael Curley, and he believed that the best thing for people is keep them working. So during the Depression, he would have the workers in the city of Boston lay down these beautiful sidewalks in Boston Common. And then as soon as they were finished laying down the sidewalks, he would have them tear the sidewalks up and resod them and build new sidewalks just to keep them working. Exactly. He was a character. But
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not legal to do what he was doing, but it was Massachusetts. And they still do it to this day. You have Maura Healey, who is the governor of the state, and she's a piece of work. And then you have an Asian, I forgot, I think her name is Wu. The mayor of Boston, and she was the lady who had a segregated Christmas party. She invited minorities to a Christmas party and excluded the white members of her staff and the administration. They found out about it and complained, and she said, it was just an oversight. No, it was just that she got caught, you see. That's what the big deal was. So they do have some strange things going on in Massachusetts.
And don't forget you got Pocahontas there, too.
That's true. Elizabeth Warren, her pawpaw has the high cheekbones. And, the thing about it is nothing is— Massachusetts was called Taxachusetts when I was a kid. It's because if you wanted to be overtaxed, move to Massachusetts. If you have this sadomasochistic tendency where you like to inflict pain on you, move to Massachusetts because they'll tax you on your tax. You know,
yeah, they will. Apparently, she's got some competition. I ran into Earl.
Uh-huh.
Last week when I was up there for Earl. As a matter of fact, I guess he's got a cousin named Earl. It's the Earl boys, but either
as opposed to Larry, who has a cousin named Larry. Yes.
Yeah, all of that. But he's a nice guy, nice fella. But he was there campaigning for a guy by the name of Bob Antonellis, who is running for Senate on the Republican side.
Wow.
Against Elizabeth. So I don't know much about Bob.
Hey, Earl, good for you, Earl. Good for you.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck in your I can't do anything for him because I'm here in PA. But
that's true.
Little mention there.
Well, you
I know
just
we do.
Did. You just did. Yeah. We have listeners in Massachusetts, so you know.
Yeah, we do. So you know what? If you're a Republican going, well, what are we going to do to get Pocahontas out of her teepee and tell her to pack it up and get the hell off the reservation? You might look into Bob Antonellis. Maybe he's a choice for you.
Recommended highly by Earl. Am I correct?
Earl. Yeah. He's a good guy. Yeah. He really is. So we had a long conversation.
You know, Massachusetts is. You mentioned something in your description. It's a beautiful state.
Oh, it is.
If you've never been to Massachusetts, Western Massachusetts is a scenic. It's a beautiful, beautiful state. Not a very big state, but they kind of got everything crammed in there. If you like the warm weather in the summertime, go down to Cape Cod, or maybe go up to Gloucester, up in the northeastern part of the state on the shore.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of things to see. Salem, you know, where they had the witch trials, very scenic, very old. And it's just a neat state to come from, except that the government is corrupt as sin. I mean, that's it. You know,
yeah.
What can I say?
There's craziness there, that is for sure.
And, you know, I talked about the sidewalks that James Michael Curley put in. I should point out that I can't tell you how long it took him to make the big dig. Maybe have you heard about the big dig in Massachusetts? When I was working in Boston a long time ago, I worked at one station, which is a giant station, WBZ. But before that, I worked at a station called WMEX. And WMEX was in the combat zone, okay?
Right.
Of Boston, which is was a tough part of the city. And but back in the 80s, I believe, they started rerouting the Massachusetts Turnpike. The Massachusetts Turnpike had been going through this into the city. It went into the city and messed things up. So what they did is they lowered it. They dug out a portion of Boston and put the Massachusetts Turnpike underground out toward the airport, out toward Logan Airport. And they called it the Big Dig. Ted Kennedy was very proud of it because it was a place where he could pour millions upon millions upon millions of unaccountable dollars. No one knew where the money was going. The Big Dig was sucking all this money into it. But they, you know, once you get a project like that going, you can't stop. You know, people say, well, why didn't they just? No, you can't stop. You would have a big hole in the middle of Boston. You have to finish it because it's just unsightly if you don't, and it won't work if there's a big hole in the city of Boston. So they put, I guess it was billions of dollars into this big dig. It took forever, Bill. That's the point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. It took forever for them to finish it. They finally got it done. You probably have been on it and didn't realize it, but it's been around only for maybe 10 years now or 12 years since they finished it. And it changed the kind of the look of Boston proper. You know, if you went into downtown Boston where there was once, where they had taken buildings out to put a highway in, they ended up putting like greens and buildings back and put the highway into the city. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what they did. And, but again, it was a huge financial fiasco, but only in Boston would you find a project like that, you know? And, and that goes again to the government of Massachusetts and the people who run that government. This Maura Healey, she's a piece of work. She's going to have her story. They'll be telling stories about her, too, in the not-too-distant future because
they're not going to be good stories.
No, they aren't. They aren't. But anyway, other things that are happening, you heard about the president's stance on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people are talking about the campaign, and you know, they're kind of surprised at the polling. CNN, I don't get it. See, these are supposed to be intelligent statisticians who work for these big networks, and CNN has they seem almost surprised at how strong President Trump is polling. Listen to this.
In a way that they simply put, never have before.
And who does get more credit for the job they would do on immigration?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we have a presidential race coming up, and this has obviously become a political hot football, right? And this is one of the trend lines that I think really tells the story that's the difference between this election and the 2020 election. So if you ask voters, who do you think would do a better job handling border security and immigration, what do we see? We see that back in 2020, it was basically a dead even split, right? Joe Biden was slightly favored on it, but not overwhelmingly. And of course, he slightly won the election, not overwhelmingly so. Look at where we are today in a Marquette University Law School poll that was put out last month. Look at that advantage that Joe Biden has on, that Donald Trump has on immigration and border security. It's near 30 points. This is a tremendous change that's going on. And it's no wonder that Donald Trump is running on immigration. And he's not just running on it in a Republican primary. He's running on in the general election. And I also think that's why there hasn't been quite the backlash that you might expect over Trump's comments, some of which that I, of course, wouldn't make. And it's because that voters at this particular point are quite concerned about immigration, and they trust Donald Trump on this particular issue.
And President Biden has been courting Latino voters in the Southwest. Where does he stand?
Yeah, so, you know, you might think, you know, that Hispanic voters might be the types of folks who would have a backlash against Donald Trump's remarks, right? Ain't the case. If you ask Hispanic voters, who do they trust more on border security and immigration? Overwhelmingly, they trust Donald Trump more by a tremendous margin. Look at that, 49% to 24%. And that is in line with what we're seeing in the polls in general amongst Hispanics, right? Joe Biden won them overwhelmingly back in 2020, won them by over 20 percentage points. Democrats normally carry them overwhelmingly. If you look at the polling right now, and an average of polling amongst Hispanic voters, who do they choose in the ballot test? It's barely Biden, about Biden by about 2 points. It would be the smallest margin for any Democratic candidate among Hispanic voters basically throughout history since we started polling the gosh darn thing. So the fact is, at this point, there's no backlash, and at this point, I don't see one coming.
Gosh darn, Harry Enten, thank you very much.
You know, sometimes.
Coming up.
You know, it's amazing. What amazes me is these are supposed to be the intelligent people, right? Mm. These are the CNN analysts and the CNN anchors. That was Anderson Cooper who was doing the questioning there, and he sounded almost surprised at the...
Well, did you hear his end statement? Gosh darn.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
damn it.
Listen, you think that's something. It's Dana Bash, another CNN anchor. She calls the whole thing upside down. She can't understand it at all. Listen.
Yeah, and let's just dig into some of the issues that could turn this race looking ahead in these two states. First of all, on abortion and democracy, these are the two issues where Biden has an advantage. The only two issues where Biden has an advantage in both states. Then you look at other issues, U.S. and world affairs, economy, immigration, Israel, Gaza. Trump has an advantage. It's actually, if you look at the Israel-Gaza question, the fact that Trump has a 20-point advantage in Michigan, I mean, the world is upside down.
But I think that finding probably explains a lot of Joe Biden's troubles in Michigan right now as well. I mean, it's obviously an issue that we saw in the primary where the uncommitted vote against him. We see young voters, independents, people who have been affiliated with this calling for a ceasefire movement, very frustrated with the president and his policies. And so that's clearly partly at play here in Michigan.
Yeah, no question. But it's hard to imagine that Donald Trump will be any more sympathetic to what's going on in Gaza than Joe Biden is, which is what is so surprising.
It has nothing to do with their actual policy positions, right?
Exactly.
Necessarily, or
exactly.
What he's proposing.
And I just want to say,
are they so out of touch with
absolutely, with
what's going on? I mean, she has no clue. She said it's hard to believe at the end that Donald Trump will have any different position than Joe Biden on Gaza. Are you kidding me? He's already stated his position. He's in full support, 100% support of Israel. He has said it. And
we could have the second coming of Christ, and Jesus Christ could run for president of the United States as a Republican, and Democrats would say it's not the right guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she said the world is upside down. Did you hear that? The world's upside down. She cannot. Yeah. These are people who are supposed to be anchors and should be in touch with what's happening in the world around them. And I think to myself, are they so sheltered and isolated? Do they live in such a small world that they cannot believe the truth when it slaps them in the face, you know? Mm. Or is this a sample of what most liberals feel? If I were to ask friends of mine who were liberals about what's going on in the world, would they have a similar response? Would they be as surprised as Dana Bash and Anderson Cooper about the polls?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Anyway, you see where President Trump on Monday sued Juan Merchan. He's that wacko judge whose daughter has the fundraising business in Chicago and has raised $93 million against Trump. He sued this judge overseeing the Stormy Daniels hush payment trial. The lawsuit is currently under seal, but the court docket reveals Trump requested a change of venue and asked for a stay on the expanded gag order. The guy gagged him. The guy gagged Trump and said, you can not only talk about the case, you can't talk about my daughter either, right? I mean, this guy is, these people are shamelessly unlawful. Do you know?
Now, the appellate judge has denied everything. As of yesterday, denied everything, any Trump request. That lawsuit is above and beyond, but they're going to try to make it go.
That was Merchan, I think, who denied. I think you have to go to the judge who's handling the case. You know, when you make like he wanted to have the judge recuse himself, and you don't go to a arbitrating judge. You go to the judge and ask him to recuse himself. That's like going to the wolf and saying, stay out of the chicken coop, you know?
Yeah, they don't mention his name in the story, but yeah, it's probably him that denied it because, yeah, he's going to deny anything that's not pro him. But there's cause to sit there and say, let's back this bus up.
Yes.
I caught myself in my own phrase. I like to
Bill
use
Knightism,
a lot.
Yes.
Bill Knightism, back this bus up. Back the bus up. I mean, this guy should not be, you know, overseeing this trial at all. As a matter of fact, this trial shouldn't be. I got to ask you honestly, mm-hmm. you know, whether Trump had anything to do with Stormy or not, that's between them. But I don't think so because there's certain prevailing reasons.
Am I wrong? This has been brought up twice before and has
been
thrown out. Yeah.
Yeah. And so why do they keep going with it? I mean, now, she also accepted money. Just shut up about it. All right, let's move on.
Hush
Here
money.
Here you go. Here's
say.
Some money. That's done in business all the time. It is totally legal.
Yes.
So tell me where the foul is. Oh, she wrote a book. No, she had somebody write the book for her. Oh, she did a photo op with him. Well, a lot of people do photo ops. Be careful who you do a photo op with, especially if it's a porn star that comes out.
Right.
You know, that does something because they're going to take something. But somebody in the government got to her and said, well, say that you were in fear of your life. And because, you know, what they're trying to do is build this gangster mob type guy. He's a mobster.
You know what gets me? I think in the previous two times it's been thrown out, one time I think there was kind of like a settlement there where they agreed to something. But she's making out like a bandit with this case, Stormy Daniels is. You know, you talked about hush money and about deals. It happens all the time in business. You get a guy who works for your company and you want to get rid of him. You don't want to have a big, long drawn out lawsuit. You don't want any litigation. So you turn to him and say, look, we're going to cut you a check for X amount of dollars, but you got to sign this agreement that you're going to say nothing about what we do here, and you're going to you have to keep your mouth shut, and you won't bring any litigation, you know? And they take the check, and they cash it, and they sign the agreement.
Let me ask you a question, Jim. You're a writer. You've mm-hmm. written stories. So if I said you didn't write that story, Jim, prove to me that you wrote that story. I'm going to sequester you to a room, mm-hmm. no outside anything, and I'll give you a notepad. Write the reasonable facsimile of that same story again. Could you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think she could do the same thing in her book?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think Stormy.
You think she could even write her name?
I don't think Stormy wrote the book.
No, I don't either. It's creative writing. And, you know, and nobody's challenged any of the facts in it. The Democrats are saying, here's our Bible.
But, you know, Bill, do you remember the case he had with the, what's his name, Aragon? The guy, you know, the other case.
Engoron,
thank you very much.
Yeah.
With that case, that judge was such a lawfare creep that they wouldn't allow certain pieces of evidence to be introduced. He actually, on occasion, told Trump's lawyers, I'm not going to accept that. You can't say that in court. He would say to Trump's lawyers, what questions are you going to ask now? And they would say, we're going to ask, and that's unusual. We're going to ask X, Y, and Z, and he would say, well, you can ask the first one and the third one, but you can't ask the second one. He would edit the questions.
Now that's interesting. And he's what party is he from?
He's a Democrat. He's the guy who was caught. Remember the guy who was, for those who've forgotten, who made faces at the camera in the courtroom when. Yeah, that's Engoron.
Yeah, he was caught with his pants down, literally, just about, you know, in the gym.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I mean, you know, posing to women. Yeah, look at me, I'm an old guy.
Yeah, hey, you like this?
You want some of this? No, not really. But, you know, I bring this up only because, you know, Joe Biden, the HER report and everything, there are tapes. Yeah. Of the interview, and the Republicans want it. They've subpoenaed it. They have the right to it, but they are refusing to give up the tapes. Now, why is that unless it is so damning, so critical for the Democrats to block that they cannot release that? What's the diff? What's the problem?
They have the fix in, as they would say. The fix is in New York State and in all of these key locations that they brought the Jack Smith case. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why Smith wants the venue to be D.C. and Washington and also New York. He's not crazy about Miami, so much so that he's trying to squelch that case and get rid of Cannon, the judge down there, but she's actually acting fair, you know? Yeah.
Another Democrat, Democrat appointee now, he's given up his office, John Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always been questions about his staff. He will not give up the information, which I believe, even with the Freedom of Information Act, no, I'm not going to tell you who my staff is.
Well, that's what the Democrats do that. They'll say, I know that there's Joe Biden with the student loans. There was a Supreme Court decision where it's unlawful to do this. So Biden said, oh, yeah, watch me. And he's still doing it.
Well, yeah, he just sat there and said yesterday, and we mentioned that yesterday while we were doing the podcast, and we were saying, yeah, he's going to do this. He's extended and reached beyond he's been shut down for it, but he goes, no, we're going to go and forgive interest. We're going to forgive the debt. We're even going to go back a few more years and include more people. Some 20 to 30 million people are in for it. And listen, if you go along with this, you'll get money by the fall. Just in time for the election, maybe a little bit afterwards. You know, he's fishing. I mean, he's got that lure out there. It's sucker bait for you. You know, he's going to reel you in so you vote for him. And just like his last promise and all of his other promises, those stupid Republicans, Trump stopped it all.
Yeah. Speaking of Biden, I don't know if you heard this.
For votes.
Pope Francis did something very unusual yesterday. He actually supported the right thing, literally. He came out and said he strongly defended the Catholic Church's dogma and doctrine with regard to transgender, what do they call it, the surgeries where they can change the sex of the child. Mm. I forgot what it's called.
You should never do that. Well, you know, if a child grows up and goes, I want to change, I think it's the wrong thing for anybody to do. But if they do that as an adult, clear thinking mind, and the doctor wants to perform it, I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to stand in the way of it.
It says Pope Francis did something very unusual, or not very usual, actually. I like that. It's even better worded. And issued a declaration yesterday called Dignitas Infinitia. I love how they use Latin. They love to use Latin because it confuses everybody who's trying to figure out what he's saying, in which he strongly defended the Catholic Church's dogma and doctrine without trying to improve or modernize it. The Catholic Church has always believed that the human body is a temple.
Sacred.
It's sacred, you know, and you shouldn't mess around with it. The Catholic Church is pro-life when it comes to abortion. It has been historically. And now he came out, this dogma said, we believe that trying to manipulate the sex of a human being goes against the tenets of the faith, and it's wrong. And Christians around the world celebrated this move, Christians except for Joe Biden. Joe Biden, who, of course, is a staunch Catholic, right? Oh, except when it's not in his political interest.
Let me define something for people, you know, just so you understand. Well, I'm Jewish, I'm Catholic, I'm Protestant, I'm Episcopalian, I'm Baptist. You can have all those labels, and that doesn't say anything about your Christianity. That is just a label. Christian, being a Christian is entirely different than going to church.
But
just so you know.
But Bill, the thing is, when you're somebody who flaunts your Catholicism as opposed to Christianity, Catholicism is a vehemently strong pro-life religion. It's one of its solid, quote, tenets is it doesn't believe in abortion, period. That's how it is. That's how it's been for centuries. That's how it is now. There's a lot on the left who would like not to believe that, but it is the truth. So when Biden comes out and says, I'm a solid Catholic, I go to Mass every Sunday, but I believe in abortion, I believe in transgenderism, I believe in all of these things that go against the tenets of his faith, then you can't be one, you know, you can't be on both sides of the track. You can't be both things to both groups. You either are one or the other. Either you're a strong Catholic and you stand by the tenets of the faith, or you're not a strong Catholic at all. You're a defiant Catholic. You're a, as they say, cafeteria Catholic. You pick and choose
poser.
What you want. Pardon?
They're
you're a poser. Exactly right, Bill. Yep.
Yeah, they're not. They have no faith. They are not Christian.
That's right.
They adopt a label, and you know, well, I'm a strong Baptist. Why are you a strong Baptist? You don't act or and look. You know, no man is free of sin, but you know, if you don't live the life and feel it in your heart, that label,
well, look at,
Baptist, Episcopalian, Catholic, it's a label.
This is a guy we have in Washington right now. Bill said this the other day. He loves to sniff little girls' hair. His daughter accused him in her diary of showering with her when she was a child. And she would be so fearful of him that she would wait until late at night to take her showers with the hope that he would be in bed asleep and he wouldn't hear her. This is the type of guy that we have as the president of the United States. He's not what he purports to be. You have a son who is a massive drug addict. Where was the intervention? I didn't see it. Instead, he uses this kid as the intermediary between the Chinese and him. You know, he's a kid who's weak. He's a kid who has problems. He's a kid who's got temptations that are pulling at him.
He's got devils in him.
And you know the Chinese probably used all of those temptations to get what they wanted out of this guy, too. You know? I mean, and you would have thought that Joe would have realized this. Heck, he had a granddaughter. He had a grandchild. Now, I don't know about you, okay? I don't know about you guys, but when it comes to bloodlines, okay, no matter how the bloodline got there, if it's there, it's yours, okay? And they turned their back on a beautiful little girl named Navy, and they ignored her for the first 4 or 5 years of her life. You know, they denied that she existed, and she was their grandchild. Even if the mother was a stripper, who cares? What does that have to do with this little girl? And they could have done
nothing to do. And you know what? Even if there is no bloodline there, that little girl needs someone to look up to, needs someone that cares about her. I raised some stepchildren.
Bill, you're
right. No blood relation at all. And they've all got great college educations. They're all doing well. Made sure.
And they love you for it, too. Well. Yeah.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. But Bill, either way.
In Navy's case, the mother did a DNA test. And that child is a Biden. That child has Hunter's blood in her. There's no question about it. Navy is for real. And Biden even wouldn't put a stocking up on the mantle for her at Christmas time. This is the kind of guy you have as president right now. You know, the other guy who's running against him, he loves his wife. You know, even his ex-wives love Donald Trump. Think about that for a second. I mean, the guy had ex-wives. You would have thought that they would have been angry and vindictive, yet they all kind of supported and loved the guy and voted for him, you know? Mm-hmm. So what does that say? People are strange. That song by The Doors back in the late 60s, people are strange. It applies in this situation.
How's that song going?
No, he wants me to sing it again. No, I don't want to lose an audience.
Hey, did you see the meme that Trump did? It was a joke.
It was funny as heck, yeah. Yeah,
where, you know, the moon shadowing the sun there.
Yeah.
Actually, they had the sun. And the silhouette was Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And the left.
It starts to creep across, and you think it's just going to be another video of an eclipse. But go ahead, Bill.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. And the left is gone nuts over it. You know?
It's funny. Instead of seeing the moon take up the whole sun, you see a profile, shadow profile, of Donald Trump. Which I thought was great.
You know, find the video and send it to one of your dearest Democrat friends and see what happens.
Yeah, it'll drive them crazy. Did you hear about Mariano Rivera? Mm-hmm. Mariano Rivera is probably one of the finest pitchers ever to play in the major leagues in decades. He played for the Yankees, okay? So I grew up in the Boston area. So my first love was to the Red Sox. I'm a Pirates fan now. I've lived here for years, and I follow the Pirates. But I also do kind of follow the Red Sox, too, because it's like it gets in your system and you can't shake it. So for me to say that Mariano Rivera is maybe one of the finest pitchers to play the game in decades, it hurts to say it, but it's the truth. He was an amazing ball player, and he was a friend to President Trump. Well, he came out and he endorsed Trump yesterday. He's in retirement now, and he endorsed Trump for the 2024 presidential election. And I thought, boy, that takes a lot, because this is a Hall of Famer. This is a Medal of Freedom winner. And, yet he's unafraid. He sort of approached it, I guess, like he approaches some of the toughest batters in the major league. Fearlessly, you know. That was interesting. Also, another story which I think you might find interesting, my friend. You see where the airlines are, they're battling plane shortages ahead of the summer travel. Apparently, they have a problem getting there. They haven't got enough airplanes. I mean, I thought that's kind of,
we've had an aging fleet, and I still think the thing going on with Boeing.
Yeah.
Is not because of them having Trump deal with him a long time ago or anything like that. It looks to me like it's a purposeful, that there's sabotage going on.
It says, for example, it says U.S. carriers will receive 32% fewer aircraft than planned a year ago because several airlines depend on Boeing's 737 MAX planes. Boeing's production has been curbed after a January mid-air panel blowout. So they had a panel blowout on the plane, so they have to stop production and everything. They have to go back and look at all of the planes they've actually put into, not just into the production system, but into the airline system. A lot of planes have come back to Boeing to have them looked at to make sure they're blaming Bill, this woke thing, diversity, equity, and inclusion. that I guess Boeing embraced that publicly, but I don't know whether that's the real reason. I just think that maybe.
So what are they saying? Everybody that works on a Boeing plane is woke or
well, they touched? You know, the apparently the corporation, when it was cool to do so, they promoted diversity in the workplace, but I don't know whether they jeopardized the quality of their airplanes just to put a certain minority into the production line who didn't know what he was doing. Do you?
I don't know that, and boy, I'll tell you what, that's a slippery slope to go down to make that accusation, because isn't that a slam against anybody that works there in
well,
any way,
especially
shape,
if
or
you're
profession?
A minority who's worked there for a long time and you're an expert at what you do. You know, I mean,
so they just called you a dumb.
They called you a minority hire, which is not the case. There are a lot of people out in these. I mean, these plants. People don't realize how big the Boeing plant in Seattle is. I mean, it's the size of several city blocks, many city blocks. There, you have an assembly line where they're building like 737s and 747s and. These are big, big facilities with thousands of people making their living there. You know, I don't know whether that's necessarily the case. I think, in all honesty, Bill, a lot of this will come down to maintenance in the future. People will find out that panels will have blown out because of a maintenance issue.
Well, I thought every 100 hours the plane had to go through an inspection.
I think they do, Bill. I think they do. And I know a lot of planes, the older planes, their inspections aren't just, you know, by eye. They literally will take all the paneling out inside the plane and check all the rivets, replace some if they have to.
You know, there are devices, just like you go into a jeweler and you put a ring out and say, oh, it's a diamond ring. And they'll go, no, that's a zirconia. Or they'll tell you what grade the diamond is. There's also things for, like, if you go to a car dealer, and you go, yeah, this car is pristine. There's no damage on it, no Bondo work, and they have a thing that could go, oh, there's Bondo right there.
Yeah.
There's been work right here. The paint was changed right here. They have that for planes, too, where you can kind of get an analysis of the temperament of the metal and things. They can sit there and go through and do safety checks without dismantling the plane.
Yeah, I think when that panel was blown out on that airplane a few weeks back and it grounded them. I think what it was an area on the plane that had been a door originally, and they took the door out and they replaced the door with panels to make it solid so there was no more door there. And someone said that they hadn't put all of the rivets in the replacement panel. And that's why it blew out. Now, that's what I had heard or I had read.
Yeah, and there were windows that were put in, and they used laundry detergent, soap, like hand soap, to get it in. Well, that you know.
That doesn't work. Yeah.
Maybe that doesn't work, you know. Yeah, it's designed to fit snug for a reason.
Yes, you know? Exactly right. But see, that wasn't a part of the original airplane. If they just left the plane alone the way it was built initially and left the door in there, they wouldn't have had an issue. But somewhere along the line, an airline decided to modify the plane to take, maybe they can get an extra row of seats in, I don't know. You know, at the door,
well,
it's a little
wider. Don't you change the structure and the stability of the plane by doing anything to the fuselage?
You would think, Bill. You would think. You know, you talk about the rivets and the structure of the plane. You know, the planes are designed, a lot of people don't realize this, but there's a certain amount of flex in the wings. If you watch when you take off on an airplane, you look out the window, many times you'll see the end of the wing going up and down, and that's intentional. There's a built-in flexibility in the wings that help to make it airworthy, okay? But after hours and hours of movement, they have to, like Bill said, look at the rivets, look at the take a look at the metal, make sure there's no wearing in the metal. Because, you know, you take a piece of metal and you flex it back and forth. After a while, sometimes you'll see a crease in it or a crack in it, you know, and that's the beginning of a problem. So, I mean, there's a lot. Airplanes are a very sophisticated piece of equipment. Unfortunately, they're sometimes not treated that way by a lot of the secondary airlines, you know.
No, they don't care. And, you know, they don't own the planes. They have a lease on them.
That's true. A lot of people don't know that, Bill. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of the smaller airlines that pop up, they aren't the owners of the planes they're flying.
That's right. So it's like a rental car, you know. Do you treat a rental car like you treat your own, or do you drive it like you stole it?
That's true. That's true.
Fly that thing like you stole it. When it starts to look shabby, we'll trade it in and get another lease.
You know, the problem is when people are flying, the passengers on those planes, they kind of expect to get the same kind of attention to that plane as they get on the bigger airlines who do own the planes. You know, there should be something that notifies the passenger that this plane is owned by a different company than the company that's flying you today. So, hey, you know, things to watch out for. The news has been kind of upside down over the last few days. We expected stuff to happen. We saw the 70 helicopters. We saw the tanks being moved. Then all of a sudden everything went quiet. We saw the collider in Switzerland. There was very little attention being paid to the fact that they were going to smash atoms together with the hopes of creating a black hole and seeing what happens. Like, they don't know what's going to happen. They kind of like want to see what's going to happen. We don't know anything about what happened during that event yesterday. It's like top secret, and no reporter is doing their job. And I would imagine, Bill, this talk about keep your heads up. There's still speculation that if there's going to be some kind of an internal issue, it may happen not on the days you expect, but they do. Some people believe it's close. So,
The other thing I wanted to mention, I mentioned it to you before the show. And we didn't talk about it, you know, and it kind of goes to maybe the eclipse and whatnot, but I thought it was an interesting story. The U.S. government awards Northrop Grumman the contract to create a railroad system on the moon. Now, let me ask you, you know, if you have a lot of barren land and you go, let's put a railroad through there, you're colonizing the land, right?
Yeah, well, there's got to be a reason for it. You're not just doing it to see the train move.
So, yeah, so we're going to put trains on the moon, and Northrop Grumman has got the contract for that, which that's got to be a multi-billion, trillion-dollar
project. Well, you might ask also, why would an aircraft company, they're an aircraft company, why would they be building a railroad system on the moon? It's because, I would imagine, because it's like there's a low gravity on the moon. And things respond differently on the moon. I'm just saying.
Well, they are. Yeah, they are an aircraft company, and I guess maybe they're going to build a rocket port there. But it makes you wonder what's on the dark side of the moon. Do we know something's already up there? Did we see something yesterday?
Yeah,
with the eclipse, with the satellites that were doing it, was the dark side of the moon revealed?
Well, it was all lit up. You know that they didn't talk about that, but if the side we saw, it's the side that faces the Earth, the one was in shadow, the sun was right behind it, so that whole dark side of the moon, I would imagine, would have had to have been lit up. I'm just saying.
Well, there you go. It was light up day, and we don't have a darn clue as to what was
lit up
on the other side.
That's true. Anyway, terrible. I think we've done it.
We have?
I think.
I don't know what we did, but I'm glad we did it.
If you want to contact us, the easiest way to contact us, forget all the other, is just go to our website. Go to itsanotherday.com or jimandbill.com. The other stuff, you don't have to worry about remembering phone numbers. We have all that stuff on the website.
Yeah,
you want to call us?
It's all there for you.
Yeah. You want to call us, just go to our website, and you'll be able to see how to contact us and a lot of our
stuff. All the numbers are there. Yes. But, you know, itsanotherday.com, the original, that's the original host and still is the host for the show. Yeah, we've kind of, you know, meangled it to where it's Jim and Bill. We even did the jimandbill.com. We found out it was available. Just thought, well, that's handy. If you only remember Jim and Bill, that goes to us.
Yeah.
But the podcast is at itsanotherday.com. And actually, that links through to where we have all the programs from the very first one some 600 shows ago, all yep. housed. It's on another platform too, where we have every yeah. single show.
Yeah, it's on. It's on now. It's called Spotify for Podcasters. Yeah. It used to be called Anchor.fm, and yeah. We're there too. So we're
everywhere. We're everywhere. So please,
and we're heard by tens of thousands of people around the world every day.
Oh, no, you're wrong in that number. No.
Really?
I saw the analytics, and it said we had a gazillion.
Uh-huh.
A gazillion.
Yes. A gazillion. How can you beat that?
Now, you really can. Not even a gazillion people on the planet.
Now, we just told you about our website and how to contact us. If all gazillion of you would send $1 to Jim and Bill at itsanotherday.com.
Yeah, and I think what we'll end up with is a goose egg. But
that's true.
You just never know.
But if we get half a gazillion, we'll still be happy. Anyway,
if we get a half a gazillion, we'll share the other half with you. I mean,
that's true. Hey, listen, that's about it, my friend. We are done. It's been fun, but we got to run. I think it's time for you to give us our customary closing.
The customary closing goes something like this. Hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here.
This is CRN America.